The land where Elisha and the sons of the prophets are living has become overpopulated, so they ask Elisha, "Can we go down to the Jordan and build our own houses there?" And Elisha agrees. Well, when they leave, they ask Elisha to come with them, and he does. While cutting the trees down at the Jordan, one of the axes falls into the river. "Oh no," the prophet yells, "I borrowed that axe." Well, Elisha goes over and he says, "Where did it go in?" And the man tells him. So Elisha cuts a branch and he puts it over into the water, and the axe head begins to float. "Retrieve it," Elisha says, and the prophet retrieves it. Now Aram's king decides to attack Israel, but Elisha tells King Jehoram the plans. Aram's king is furious because he thinks that he has a traitor inside of his army. "No," they say, "it's Elisha." "Where is he?" "In Dothan." "Go get him," the king says. When the Aram army surrounds Dothan, Elisha's servant is afraid and he says, "What are we going to do?" Elisha replies, "Don't worry. Those with us are greater than those with them." Now Elisha prays and the mountain fills with horses and chariots of fire. He prays for the men to be struck blind and they are blinded. "Come with me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for," he tells the blinded men. Therefore they follow him right into Samaria. Elisha prays and their eyes are opened. Jehoram, the king of Israel, says, "Should I kill them?" "No," Elisha says, "feed them well and send them home." And after they hold a great feast, they send the Arams home, and the group never comes against Israel again. Several years later, Ben-Hadad decides to attack Israel, and his war causes the famine in Israel to be worse. Everything is expensive. A donkey's head sells for 80 shekels, and a quarter cab of dove dung for fuel sells for 5 shekels. Things are so bad that 2 women make a pact with each other so that they can survive. On the first day, they kill one son and eat him. But on the second day, the other lady hides her son. The king of Israel hears about it, and he blames Elisha and swears to have his head by the very next day. At his home with the elders, Elisha tells them that the king has sent a man to take away his head, and the elders want to bar the doors, but Elisha says, "This is from the Lord. Let's let it happen." Elisha says to the officer who comes to get him, "By this time tomorrow, fine flour will sell for 1 shekel, and 2 measures of barley for 1 shekel. Cheap." The officer says, "This couldn't happen even if the Lord opens the windows of heaven." "It will," Elisha says, "and you will see it, but you will not eat of it." 4 lepers who beg at the gate of Samaria decide that they should switch sides and go to the Arameans. If they kill them, so be it. If they stay at the gate, they're going to die anyway because they're starving. And in the middle of the night, the Aram army hears the sounds of chariots and horses, and they run for their lives, leaving behind everything, including their tents, their clothing, their money, their horses, and their donkeys. As the sun comes up, the lepers go to the camp, and they find it empty. They loot all that they can carry, and they feel bad that they are not sharing the loot with the king of Israel. So they send word, and the king sends the people to take everything. There is so much that the price on everything drops to what Elisha predicted the previous day. The officer sees a measure of flour sold for 1 shekel and 2 measures of barley for 1 shekel. Then the officer falls to the ground, and the people trample him to death. It all happens just as Elisha had foretold the day before. The famine had just started, and the spoils of the Aramean army will not last long. So Elisha tells the woman whose son he had raised from the dead to go and find food wherever she could, because the famine would last another 7 years. And for those 7 years, she finds refuge in Philistia with the Philistines. At the end of the famine, Jehoram is asking Gehazi about Elisha's doings. And just as he tells the king about the woman and her son, Elisha and the woman and the son walk up. People have taken their house and the land, and they beg the king to help them get it back. Jehoram orders it to be done along with payment for everything that was harvested off of it for the past 7 years. In the fifth year of Jehoram's reign over Israel, Ben-Hadad becomes sick and he sends Hazael to ask Elisha if he is going to recover. Elisha tells him no. But Elisha is also sad because Hazael will be a horrible, evil king. When Elisha explains that the new king will set Israel on fire, kill young men with a sword, dash the little ones in pieces, and cut pregnant women open, Hazael says, "Who is this dog?" "It is you," Elisha says. Back with Ben-Hadad, Hazael tells the king that he will recover when he asks. But on the next day, Hazael dips a cloth in water and smothers Ben-Hadad. Hazael becomes the king of Aram. In the same year, the fifth year of Jehoram, king of the north, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat dies in the south, and his son, also named Jehoram, becomes king at the age of 32. He will reign for 8 years after the death of Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat had removed all the evil in the southern kingdom that his father, Asa, had failed to expel. He also had sent Tarshish ships to go bring back gold, but they had been wrecked. Ahaziah had offered to send men to help, but Jehoshaphat refused. And so they buried Jehoshaphat in Jerusalem. Because of the friendly relationships between the southern kingdom of Jehoshaphat and the northern kingdom, Jehoshaphat's son had taken a wife, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and her name was Athaliah. And because of that, Jehoram follows his father-in-law's footsteps and not his father's footsteps during his reign. During that reign, Edom revolts against the rule of the southern kingdom, and they select a king, and Libna follows along and does the same thing. After 8 years, Jehoram dies, and his son, Azariah, becomes the king of the southern kingdom. He is 22 years old, and an evil king like his grandfather, Ahab, and he rules 1 year. His mother is Athaliah. Jehoram battles Hazael in Ramah and is injured, and he returns to Jezreel to heal. Azariah decides to visit his cousin king in Jezreel. Elisha sends a prophet with a jar of oil to seek out Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, not the king Jehoshaphat, but a different Jehoshaphat. Elisha instructs the man to anoint Jehu as king over Israel. When he finds Jehu, he says, "Captain, I have a message for you." Jehu answers, "Which one?" "You, Jehu," he replies. Therefore, he anoints Jehu as king of Israel, king of the northern kingdom. Then he opens the door and he runs out just as Elisha had instructed him to do. "Who was that madman?" they asked Jehu. "You know." "Yes, we know." Jehu tells them what just happened and he tells them to keep it quiet. Now he gets in his chariot and he rides to Jezreel, where Azariah is with Jehoram trying to recover from the wound. They see Jehu and his party and they send a messenger out. The messenger asks, "Do you come in peace, Jehu?" "If in peace, follow me." And the messenger does. They send a second messenger out to Jehu and Jehu says the same thing. "If in peace, you follow me." And the messenger does. Ahaziah and Jehoram get in their own chariots and go out to Jehu. "Do you come in peace?" Jehoram asks. "What is peace?" Jehu says. Jehoram says, "This is a trap," and they try to flee. Jehu shoots him with an arrow between his shoulders, and he dies. "Put him in his chariot and dump him in Naboth's vineyard," he orders. They chase Ahaziah, who rides by the garden house. "Shoot him," Jehu orders, and they kill that southern king near Megiddo. They carry him to Jerusalem and bury him there. It is Jehoram's 11th year as king and Ahaziah's first year as king. Jezebel hears Jehu is near, so she paints her eyes, fixes her hair, and she looks out the window. And when Jehu enters the gate, Jezebel asks, "Is it well?" Jehu says to several officers who are up in the window with Jezebel, "Who is on my side?" And they nod at him. "Throw her down," he says, and they do. And her blood splatters the wall and the horses. Jehu tramples her with his horse. Jehu then goes in for a lunch and he tells the officers to bury her. But all they can find is her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. When they tell Jehu, he confirms that it is the prophecy of Elijah. She was eaten by dogs and never buried, so no one could say, "Here lies Jezebel." Ahab has 70 sons, all living with guardians and elders throughout Israel. And Jehu sends a letter to them telling them to send their heads to him in Jezreel. They do. He also sends another letter telling them to set a king on their throne, whomever they wish. But they have no one that Jehu could not defeat, so they support Jehu. Jehu takes those heads of those 70 sons and puts them at the gate in Jezreel. And he tells the people, "I am guilty of the deaths of Jehoram and Ahaziah, but who killed these?" The devastation of Ahab's house is a fulfillment of Elijah's prophecy. On the way to Samaria, Jehu meets 42 relatives of Ahaziah. And when Jehu finds out who they are, he kills them. When Athaliah buries her son Ahaziah after Jehu had killed him, she is enraged and she sets out to kill all the royal heirs of the southern kingdom. Jehosheba, King Joram's daughter, hides baby Joash and his nurse in her bedroom for 6 years. And during this time, Athaliah reigns as queen of the southern kingdom. On the way to Samaria, Jehu meets Jehonadab. "Are our hearts united?" he asks, and Jehonadab agrees. Jehu makes him ride in his chariot to Samaria, where he tells the people that he wants to make a great sacrifice to Baal. Word is sent throughout all of Israel, and every prophet, worshiper, and priest of Baal joins him in Samaria. In the temple of Baal, he offers a sacrifice, and then he goes outside. He had 80 men out there, and he tells them to kill everyone inside or pay with your own life. And that day he removed all Baal worship from Israel, and the Lord blesses him for it. However, he failed to remove the 2 golden calves that Jeroboam had set up. And Jehu fails to walk close to the Lord after that. During Jehu's reign, Hazael, the king of Aram, captures all of Israel's land east of the Jordan River, all of Gilead, and all of the tribal area of Gad and Reuben and Manasseh. When Joash turns 7 years old, Jehoiada, the high priest, gathers all the captains of the armies, and he sets a plan in place to guard Joash 24 hours a day when he becomes king. And they all agree, and they make a covenant between each other. If anyone comes between their ranks and Jehoash that is not one of them, he is to be put to death. Jehoiada anoints Joash as king, and he brings him to the pillar where the kings of old stood before the people. And they all shout and they cheer, "Long live the king!" Joash, at 7 years of age, is the new king of the southern kingdom. When Athaliah hears the noise and she sees Joash, she cries, "Treason! Treason!" And Jehoiada has her removed from the temple. And at the horse gate, she is killed. Joash, at 7 years old, has all the idols and the false gods removed from the southern kingdom. It is the 7th year of Jehu's reign in the north, and Joash is careful to follow the high priest's leading. However, the high places were not all taken down by Joash. Up in the north, the northern kingdom, after ruling for 28 years, Jehu dies, and his son, Jehoash, takes his place. In the south, Joash ordered the priest to collect money to repair the temple. However, by his 23rd year, nothing had been done and the temple was in sad disrepair. Joash calls for it to be repaired. So Jehoiada bores a hole in a box and places it by the altar for the money offering. As it filled up, the priest tied it in bags. And when there was enough money to be given to the workmen to fix the temple, he gave it to them. It was not used to make the utensils and the instruments of the temple, just the building materials. Up in Aram, Hazael, the king of Aram, decides to overtake Jerusalem as he did Gath. Joash gathers all the sacred things of the past kings, and he sends them as gifts to Hazael in an attempt to stop him from coming to fight at Jerusalem. In the northern kingdom, Jehoaz is the king, and he's going to reign for 17 years, and he is an evil king. And because of his sin, the Lord allows Hazael and his son, Ben-Hadad, to constantly lord over them. When they are almost defeated, with only 50 horsemen, 10 chariot, and 10,000 footmen, Jehoaz cries out to the Lord, and his prayer is heard, and the oppression wanes. Jehoaz dies in the 38th year of Joash's reign in the south. Jehoaz's son, Jehoash, comes to rule in the northern kingdom, and he reigns for 16 years, and he is just as evil as his father. During Jehoash's rule in the northern kingdom, Elisha becomes ill, and Jehoash comes to him weeping. In Elisha's room, he tells Jehoash to shoot an arrow through the window towards the east. Elisha tells Jehoash that he will have victory over Hazael and Aram. He tells him to strike the arrows on the ground, and Jehoash strikes the arrows 3 times. "You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times," Elisha says. If he had struck the ground with the arrows 5 or 6 times, he would have eliminated his enemies, but now he will only defeat them in 3 battles. Then Elisha dies, and they bury him. The Moabites come every year to raid the northern kingdom, and once while a funeral procession was taking place, the people see the Moabites coming, and they throw the man in Elisha's grave. When it hits the prophet's bones, the man comes back to life. When Hazael dies, his son, Ben-Hadad II, becomes king of Aram. He tries to oppress Israel, but like his father, Jehoash defeats him 3 times. During Jehoash's 2nd year as king of the north, a conspiracy develops in the south. Jezachar and Shimsath kills Joash at Milo's house. Joash's son, Amaziah, becomes king, and he rules for 29 years. He is a good king, but he does not remove the high places used for worship idols from the land. In his 1st year, he puts to death the men who killed his father. Later, he kills 10,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. He also defeats Selah. Now, Amaziah sends a message to meet Jehoash, but he refuses. Jehoash knows that Amaziah is proud of his accomplishments and wants to defeat him. When Amaziah finds out that Jehoash has no intention of engaging him, he taunts him, and they finally meet. Jehoash is victorious, and he captures Amaziah, but he does not put him to death. However, he does take all the gold, the silver, and the utensils from the temple. It is a lesson to Amaziah. When Jehoash dies, Amaziah lives 15 more years. At Jehoash's death, his son Jeroboam takes his place. It is Amaziah's 15th year as king in the south, and Jeroboam II is an evil king who reigns for 41 years. Soon after Jeroboam II takes control of the northern kingdom, the Lord calls Jonah to minister in that area. One portion of Jonah's ministry is reported in the book by his name. It's an important story that helps Jeroboam II reclaim the land that was taken by the Arameans previously. The Assyrians supported Aram's conquest of the northern kingdom. A good portion of that northernmost section of the Promised Land and that to the east of the Jordan was under the control and authority of Aram by the time that Jonah begins his ministry during those beginning days of Jeroboam II's rule. The Lord instructs Jonah to go to be a witness to the Assyrian capital city of Nineveh, but Jonah runs to Joppa and he boards a ship headed for Tarshish. Jonah believes that the Lord should punish Nineveh for all of her evil, but he also knows that if Nineveh repents, the Lord will not destroy her. 3 days into the voyage, the sea begins to rage and the sailors cast lot to see whose God is angry with them and causing the storm. Jonah finally confesses and he is thrown overboard to be swallowed by a great fish. And after 3 days in the belly of the fish, he prays and the Lord has the fish throw him up on the shoreline. Jonah walks all the way to Nineveh where he delivers an 8-word warning. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The city repents, including the king, and 120,000 people become believers in the true Lord. It makes Jonah mad and he wants to die. And for that, the Lord asked Jonah why he, as God, should not have compassion on Nineveh. The salvation of the city causes Assyria to withdraw its support from Aram. And on its own, Aram cannot match the forces of Jeroboam II, who is successfully able to reclaim all the land taken by Aram from the northern kingdom.